History Makers with Matt Prater.
Coming off of drugs, you're going to have emotional problems, but I kept chasing after God.
And he's using this vehicle to bring people out of the dark into the light.
And I went forward and I knelt at the front, and it was a radical conversion experience.
And that's where the big change happened, and that's where we decided we're going to use our music for God, we're going to change our songs.
When I was about 25 years old, I was busted and into jail, and it was there that I came to the Lord.
History Makers with Matt Prater.
Hi, and welcome to History Makers. I'm Matt Prater. Today we're chatting with my good friend from New Zealand. His name is Bevan Matthews. He's an author, a speaker, and he's been involved in all sorts of ministry around the world. And it's great to have you on the radio. Welcome along, Bevan. Tell us a bit of your background. Where were you born and raised?
Oh, thank you, Pastor Matt. Such an honour to be here with you today. I'm actually a Kiwi, born in New Zealand in a town called Whakatane, 1972, so I'm 52. I lived in Australia for 10 years, but New Zealand's my home, Pastor Matt, and I'm currently here, but I minister in Australia a lot.
You do, mate, and I've had you come and speak at my church and just love your heart for the gospel and a real powerful message of forgiveness. We're going to talk about that a bit later, but let's just find out a bit of your story. So did you have a religious upbringing at all?
Not as a child. I was born sort of to two teenagers that met each other at a party. My mum was 15, my dad was 19. Not Christians. Mum got pregnant there, meeting my dad for the first time. It wasn't until I was about 6 years old, my dad became born again, and then my mum and then our whole family got saved about then, 46 years ago.
Okay, and tell us about your faith journey. Was there an encounter with God that transformed your life? How did you come to Christ?
Well, obviously, at about the age of six and a half, I started coming to church. I gave my life to Jesus at that age with my parents, you know, at our church, but my journey was very different. My parents, not long after getting saved, became elders in the church and then later senior pastors of a church. But I was like a prodigal son. I sort of, I knew about God. I saw supernatural power of God moving everywhere. But I had unforgiveness and a root of bitterness in my heart towards my father for the first 6 years of my life where he didn't treat my mum well. And I really struggled and I kept falling. But it's a long journey. I mean, we'll talk about a bit more about that later in the broadcast, but that's kind of what my book's about, yeah.
Okay. And let's find out a bit more of your story then. So what did you do after school?
After school, I became a builder. Like Jesus, I was a carpenter and moved further into construction management and worked for some really big companies in Australia. I lived there for 10 years, like I said. Some of the big companies in Australia, I worked for them. Yeah, but on and off, started doing more and more ministry, and now I'm full-time in ministry.
What was the transition from working as a builder to building the kingdom? How'd you get into ministry?
1997, my parents were killed in a car accident. As pastors, that was kind of the turning point in my life. I was 25 years old and spoke at my parents' funeral. It was the largest gathering in our church, in our community. We had 3,000 people there and actually got up and shared the gospel there. We had evangelist Barry Smith here, an international evangelist, speaking as well. And from there, doors started to open to speak and share my story in churches. And that was probably, 1997? Now we're 2025. What's the maths on that, Pastor Matt? It's a while.
Long time ago. 28 years. So yeah. Barry Smith, oh my goodness. I remember reading his books and actually found a video of his recently. He was a great end times speaker from New Zealand. Were you closely connected to him, were you?
Very close. He used to stay at our house quite often. I've had breakfast, lunch and dinner with Barry many times. He slept in the spare room at our home. And so I grew up listening to the stories of, you know, the return of Jesus and eschatology and things like that. And so always had an expectancy of Jesus' return. And that kind of goes hand in hand with part of the urgency as an evangelist to share the gospel. Today's the day of salvation. Tomorrow's not guaranteed for anybody.
I've been really blessed to get a copy of your new book recently, Breaking Silence, Unveiling the Supernatural. Tell us all about it.
Well, it's my life story. I actually had a dream, Pastor Matt, and in the dream I was, I'll tell you real quick, the funny thing is right now where I'm parked in my vehicle is right where I had the dream. I didn't know you can ask me this question.
Oh, wow.
This is supernatural. So about 2020, I had a dream. I was actually showering. Well, I thought I was showering, you know, washing the shampoo out of my hair, washed the shampoo off my face. I opened my eyes thinking I was in a shower. And in the dream, I was in a clear glass cubicle. And the moment I opened my eyes, I saw cars driving right past me, literally right up against the glass, and it just shocked me to the core. And in that moment, I left my body, looked back at myself about 20 metres away, and I realised that I was actually having a shower in a public telephone booth in the main street of town. And I woke up, and I says, "Lord, what's that about?" And he says, "I want you to be transparent with the public. I want them to see your life, show them everything." He wasn't talking about my body. He was talking about let them see everything. So that sort of was the inspiration between for writing my book. That's why it's called Breaking Silence, Unveiling the Supernatural, and it's the supernatural transparent testimony of Bever Matthew. So in the book, I tell my whole story. Everything's in there. Every hurt, every win, every loss, it's all in there. Absolutely loaded with supernatural content. There's 16 written endorsements in there. You've written one for me, Pastor Matt. We've got evangelist Tim Hall, Cole Stringer, Ben Hughes, Darren Kenning, Stephen Coe, Katie Dunstan, Katie Spackman, Ada Boland. Many of Australia's leading ministers have written endorsements in my book. It's absolutely loaded with supernatural stories, and they're true. It's my life story, but in transparent detail.
And, mate, I know I've heard you share a message recently where you talked a lot about the power of forgiveness. That's really at the heart of the gospel. What's the message about forgiveness that you want to bring to people?
If you want to summarize the whole Bible, and it really is a story about, it's not just the greatest love story ever told, that God obviously wants to restore his sons and daughters into the kingdom who, you know, have been lost in sinning and have walked away. But really it's about, the Bible is about giving and receiving forgiveness. Now, Jesus died on the cross to forgive us of our sins. He paid a debt we couldn't pay. But the scriptures also say that if we do not forgive, then we're not forgiven either. Mm. And that really played out for me in my life, where my father was a senior pastor. And this will really encourage pastors, leaders, those praying for prodigals. Many chapters in my book that talk about this. I was a prodigal. My parents were pastors. I'm living in the underworld in the life of sex, drugs, rock and roll, while my father is hosting people like Barry Smith and international ministers at our home, moving in the power of God, his own sons off the rails, and that was my life. Now, I'll just say real quickly what happened, summarizing one of the chapters in my book. It was December the 1st, 1997. I had the biggest argument I've ever had with my father. And basically, like a wound that was festering poison in my life, it just all oozed out. It all came out. And I yelled at my father and I said things that I regretted. And I worked for my father. So he wasn't just a pastor of a church. He's also a businessman that owned a building company. And I worked for Dad as a contractor. And I says, "Dad, I quit." And he says, "No, you can't quit because you're fired." And this went back and forth. Long story short, we reconciled by the grace of God. The Holy Spirit was all over our conversation. I says, "Dad, I forgive you for what you did to Mum and I when we were kids. And, you know, before you're a Christian," he says, "Okay, I forgive you, son, you know, the things you said to me." And we shed a tear. And the very next day, within 24 hours, my father and my mother both died in a car accident.
Oh.
And for me, that was the grace of God. And it just, as an evangelist, God sends me all around the world now as an evangelist. But it just drives home the fact that today is the day of salvation, because tomorrow is not guaranteed for anyone, not even for pastors.
And mate, while I've got you too, another story you told me that you shared when you preached, and it really inspired me. You know, you went through some horrific stuff as a kid. Obviously, there might be children listening to this, so we need to be careful about how much you explain. But at the age of 6 years old, you went through a horrific abuse saga. Tell us just in a nutshell what happened.
Yeah, like I said, my parents weren't Christians at that time. My father was still living the party lifestyle, so he was always away, drinking, partying, cheating on my mother. I'm at home with my mother. My baby sister's just been born, so my mum's busy trying to raise a brand new child. Dad's away, not sort of pulling his share. And I'm encouraged to go and play as often as I can with my friends, you know. And I'm playing with my friend down the road, less than 100 metres from my home. And a long story short, I get tricked by a man who knew my friend and was held captive in a home for a whole afternoon. Wow. And he was actually a male witch, a real witch, one that spoke in demonic tongues. Just got, I didn't know about the term gaslighting back in those days, but it was extreme gaslighting to the point like I was tricked, held captive with a knife to my throat.
Wow.
And stripped naked and obviously raped as a child at 6 years old. And I cried out to God to save my life, because he was literally going to drink my blood. It's a satanic ritual. And my grandmother's face flashed in my mind as he was about to cut my throat. And I remember my grandmother always saying to me, "Bevan, if you ever get in trouble, cry out to God." She was a Catholic woman. She wasn't born again, but she believed in Jesus. And my grandmother's voice kept saying, "Bevan, cry out to God." So I cried out to God. And the minute that I did, he couldn't do it. His hand would shake. He'd have to put the knife down. And this went on and on for, it seemed like hours. And long story short, he let me go with a threat that if I ever spoke, that, you know, he'd come and kill my parents and my family. And now, hence, that's kind of part of the reason why I've called the story Breaking Silence, because I kept silent about that right up until maybe 30 years later before I started to talk about it. And there's chapters in my book where God began to bring me through the healing, and the spiritual warfare I went through was phenomenal, Pastor Matt. But you read my book, but that's in a nutshell what happened. And I kind of blame my dad partly for that, because he wasn't there. That was kind of the poison that came out the day before he died in the car accident when we reconciled.
There's a lot of people that have been through abuse that have been wounded for life and they can't get over it.
Yeah.
You're in a place where you've been set free from that. You're walking in healing and wholeness now, and you're able to tell your story as an overcomer. Would you just speak to those that are listening? How do you overcome something like that?
I think in a nutshell, there's many things I could say, as in, you know, spend time in the presence of God, get a good understanding of the word and about forgiveness. But in a nutshell, the book of Hebrews, where it talks about Jesus going to the cross, and it said that Jesus was able to go through what he went through on the cross because he looked beyond the cross to the joy set before him. So what Jesus did, the posture of Jesus' heart before he was crucified and went through his trial and his tribulation, he looked beyond the cross to the joy set before him, and that was redeeming you and I. So his eyes were fixed on redeeming us. That's what kept him nailed on that cross. Now, we've got to do the same things as we come into end times with trials and tribulations and the things we go through. We go, okay, this is uncomfortable, this is painful, but I'm going to look beyond the trial, beyond the tribulation to the joy set before me. And that's the promise of eternity in heaven, that when you really fix your eyes on heaven and eternity and you get a grip of eternity, it makes it so much easier to let go of the offenses and the pains that we go through in life and go, you know what, this is temporary. The main thing is I'm hanging on to Jesus. I'm not letting go, because I'm not going to let go of eternity and heaven with God.
It's good news, mate. And it's inspirational to see that you've released this book, that you're traveling the world sharing the gospel. Are there any particular nations that you focus on for ministry? I know you come to Australia a lot, but is there other nations that you do a lot of ministry in?
Yeah, I do my very best to be 100% Holy Spirit-led, as in I would love to plan out my year and the years in advance, but it just doesn't seem that God allows me to do that. I just pray, Lord, where to go. He just keeps bringing me back and back to Australia often. I mean, a year and a half ago, I think 2 years ago, he had me in Africa, Tanzania, Africa. I'll be ministering in Canada in a few weeks' time from now, and then back in Australia again. Yeah, I think maybe the last 2 years, maybe over 100 international meetings around the world God sent me to. So we're just opening up many things, but I don't try and push the doors open. I just pray and wait for the door to open and be led by God's Spirit. But I really believe Australia, God's got huge things for Australia. I love Australia as much as I love New Zealand.
Awesome, mate. And I know you spent some time with evangelist Tim Hall in PNG. He did some massive crusades there, and you're part of that team. Tell us some of the highlights. What was that like?
Yeah, I love Pastor Tim Hall, evangelist Tim Hall. I try to spend as much time with him as I can, obviously. I see it. One of the things I'd like to see more in the body of Christ is like spiritual fathers that have gone further than you've gone, that you can glean from and learn. And I see Pastor Tim Hall as that man in my life, or one of them. And I try to travel with him as much as I can and be part of his miracle team, praying for miracles. I think I've been in maybe 25 meetings with Tim Hall as part of his team, Papua New Guinea, Vanuatu, Solomon Islands, two different meetings in Sydney. But each one of them, there's sort of 5 nights of meetings, so 25 meetings. But we see miracles, like I can't remember how many miracles. I mean, Vanuatu alone, we lost count. And Tim called me a couple of weeks later. He says, "How many people did you pray for and see miracles?" Like, we just couldn't keep count. Literally hundreds of people being healed, blind eyes opening, people getting out of wheelchairs, reconstructive miracles, all sorts of things. God is moving. He hasn't stopped moving, and he'll keep moving.
So good. Well, it's been so good to catch up and hear a bit of your story. If people want to find out more, the website is bevanmatthews.com. And there you can find a copy of the link to the book, Breaking Silence, Unveiling the Supernatural. And if people want to see some of his social media clips as well, you can see a whole bunch there. Just search up Bevan Matthews. Mate, it's been so good to hear your story today. I reckon you're a history maker. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Pastor Matt. God bless you. And it's just one T in Matthews, M-A-T-H-E-W-S. God bless you.
Good on you, mate. Thanks. God bless.
If you'd like to hear this conversation again, listen online anytime at historymakersradio.com. There you'll also find links to all of our social media channels, and you can subscribe to our iTunes podcast. History Makers is a faith-based ministry, and we want to thank everyone for their generous support. If you've got a suggestion of anyone we should interview, send us an email, info@historymakersradio.com. God bless. I'm Matt Prater, and my challenge to you now is to go and make history.